Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Really excited about the next hour on our program. I have two great guests who are going to be with us, and I think you'll really enjoy both of them. We're going to kick things off by speaking to filmmaker Charlotte Glenn. She's making her first appearance on our program today to talk to us not only about an exciting project that's going to be airing on PBS America Reframed this week. It's called Rachel Is. It's going to be on May the 6th. We'll be telling you how you can be able to watch it for yourself, but it really is a very personal journey, not only for Charlotte and her family. We're going to talk to her not only about the decision to be able to create the film, but also what it's been like for her to see the great conversation pieces that are taking place around it. At the bottom of the hour, I'll be speaking with acclaimed actor Oba Babatunde. You've seen him in films all over the world. He's also Emmy-nominated for his role in Miss Ever's Boys. We'll talk to him not only about his own journey in the world of the arts, but also what it's been like for him to pay it forward and to be able to encourage the next generation as well. As I said, it's going to be a great hour. Glad you all could join us for the project. Charlotte Glenn, though, is kicking things off for us today. Charlotte, hello to you, and welcome to Conversations Live.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on.
Hey, the pleasure's definitely all mine. Charlotte, I was really excited when I first found out not only about the film Rachel Is, but also, of course, the conversations that are kind of taking place around it. You know, we are all about conversations here on this show. But I have to say, you know, this story is personal for you, I think, on many layers. One, it is dealing with your sister, Rachel Glenn. But also, of course, this is kind of your baby. I mean, this film is your project. What has it been like for you to kind of get to this place? As I mentioned, it's going to be on PBS this coming up week on May 6th. What has it been like for you to be at this place and to see the way that people are responding to it?
It has been quite a journey. I actually started shooting the film 10 years ago. So, we've grown up together. It's just been kind of unbelievable and just incredibly exciting to, you know, I like to struggle and to fight and to want this story to be out in the world. And now I finally have the opportunity, you know, on Tuesday for people to see it, for a larger audience to see it. So it's really exciting. As you said, it is like a very personal story and deals with personal issues, dealing with issues of disability and family and, I think trying to get some more visibility around and more conversations around disabilities, that's a really exciting opportunity.
Exactly. And, you know, it's so interesting, too. I mean, the other reason I was excited for you, Rachel, I, like others, are following you on Twitter, and I noticed that, you know, you're doing this conversation today, but then you're going to have the platform of the doctors next week to be able to talk about it. I mean, do you think that what is happening now with the momentum that is picking up around this discussion about not only developmental disability, but also about your film, that it really is going to help us to see each other in a different light?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly hope so. I started making the film for a couple of different reasons, but one of the sort of primary reasons and one of the ways that helped me to articulate myself, I guess, artistically, was I really wanted to introduce a world that, you know, isn't most people aren't familiar or haven't spent time with people with developmental disabilities, and so. There aren't many portrayals in media, and a lot of the ones that are out there aren't positive, and I think it's really important to humanize communities that tend to be marginalized. And I felt like growing up within the disability community, being a sibling, like I had the opportunity to show my sister as somebody who is a real person. She has... a vision for what she wants her life to be like. She is
right.
Funny. She's really hard to be around. All people are both can be challenging and also lovely. And so she's, you know, has those different complex sides of her personality. And I really wanted the world to kind of see that, you know, that people with disabilities are human beings, and hopefully through that, we can start to change some of the policies and the funding in the U.S. to reflect that we care about our citizens that are developmentally disabled.
Exactly. And I think that is one of the great things about the platform that PBS is offering through America Reframed. I noticed on the website that it mentioned that after the film there will be a discussion about neurodiversity and how we can help individuals that are, you know, dealing with developmental disabilities. And I think that is, again, a great step, and it's something that all of us, again, can appreciate. I want to say, for those who are just tuning in, you're listening to Conversations Live. I have the privilege of speaking today with filmmaker Charlotte Glenn. She's here talking with us not only about her film Rachel Is, but also, of course, you know, what it was like for her to kind of introduce her sister and her own story to the world, and now, of course, to be able to open up this door to a conversation not only about those with developmental disabilities, but I think, too, it's something larger than that, Charlotte. When I was watching the film myself, I thought, you know, there are so many people that I think can relate to the intricate nature of family, because I think we all kind of know what it's like to kind of go through our issues in family, dealing with things differently. We see that from the very beginning with Rachel at the gravesite, how you are very emotional. You know, the affect isn't really there for her when you guys are there putting the flowers at the gravesite. Do you think that that's also a conversation that we should be able to embrace the differences that we have in all of our families?
Yeah, I mean, it's great that you're talking about the sort of like universal themes of family that I was trying to investigate, because, you know, people who've seen the film so far, I'm sure it won't be surprising to you that like teenagers really, really respond to Rachel, you know, like
right.
really respond to the film, because it's so much a film about what it is to want to get away from home.
Right.
You know, and what it is to want your independence, and, you know, and so I think, and for me, you know, wanting a relationship for my sister that was, like, different than the one that she could give me, and I think, you know, I definitely wanted to investigate those things that feel more universal, you know, also as a way of having this conversation about disability. You know, that there's
right.
that there's these connections that we all, like, even if you haven't directly had a family member with a disability, that those same dynamics are, you know, are all over the place, you know, in many families.
Exactly. No, I was just going to say, Charlotte, that was one of the things that I really thought about when I was prepping for this, is how I could help our listeners to understand. And there's this one great part where you kind of flip the script a little bit, and Rachel is able to document you for a few moments. And, you know, and it was interesting to kind of see it turned around. Did you realize how much of you would – I mentioned the emotional scene at the grave site. Did you know going in how emotional this was going to be for you, even though the film is called Rachel Is, but how much you were going to be a part of it and your own emotions?
No, I went into shooting and I was like, you know, my cinematographer and wonderful friend Eddie Martinez, I was like, okay, so I'm not going to be in this film at all, you know, except for like the times when I would naturally be home. And, you know, like, we're cutting me out of this entirely, and this is a film that's about my mom and sister, which is like kind of hysterical, you know, that I moved home to make a movie about, you know, this major moment in my family's life, you know, my, like, sister, like, losing supports and services and graduating from school and the sort of, like, fight to find her, you know, this new life.
Right.
And I was like, I'm not part of this, which I think kind of says a lot about, you know, some of the challenges of growing up with a sister with a disability, like, that I think I was in denial, you know, that it had any mm-hmm. impact in my life. So I was like, I don't need to be part of the story. This story had no impact on me. You know, it was only through editing and through amazing collaborations with an editor, the editor of the film, Brian Cassidy, who's also a wonderful filmmaker, you know, he pushed me in a really serious way to include, like, my own voice, literally through the voiceover interstitials. You know, it was really through working with him that I was able to see that, like, you know, I was the way that an audience was going to be able to kind of enter the story. But I, in the beginning, I was like, I'm not making a personal film, you know, which, you know, I think is like something sometimes why documentaries take such a long time to make, because, you know, you have to get to that place where you're able to say, oh, right, I'm part of this story. This is my family. And, you know, this is, I can't disassociate myself. So.
Right. Right. Do you think, you mentioned early in the conversation, Charlotte, that it took you basically a decade to make. Do you think that was another reason why being able to appreciate your own part of the story?
Well, it actually, you know, it was actually 5 years. And in the last couple of years, we've been trying to find the film a home. So I will be responsible for this, you know, the first 5 years. But, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's really challenging to have some perspective on something that's so personal and,
right,
you know, and trying to find the sort of balance when you're raising, you know, sort of tough questions and a world, introducing people to a world that maybe they're not familiar with, you know, making sure that you're clear in what you want to say.
Exactly. Totally agree with that. Again, everyone, I'm speaking with Charlotte Glenn. She's the filmmaker behind the film. It's going to be making its debut on PBS America Reframed on May the 6th. We'll be reminding you guys of that here in, at the end of this segment as well, of course, to be able to join the conversation that will be taking place afterwards. I want to step back for a moment, Charlotte, if you don't mind, just talk about the creative side of this for a moment. I talk to a lot of filmmakers and authors on this program, and recording artists too, and one of the things they always tell me, especially in the beginning, is what makes the career the most powerful and personal for them is that they're writing what they know. Do you think that is true, that regardless of what you do after this film, that this one will always hold a special place for you because it is so personal?
Yeah, it's funny. I think that such an interesting, you know, I feel like more like I have to tell the stories that I have to tell, that it's like not about, you know, that it's a little bit more like esoteric than that, or a little bit like more abstract than that. You know, it was just, I knew in 2004, I was like, this is the movie I have to make. I don't know, you know, I just knew that I had to. So the other films that I've made have been, you know, maybe not as literally personal, you know, as like I'm telling a story about my family, but have been very personal and have come from a need to express something. I think, you know, with Rachel is, man, it was a very challenging film. I used to call it it was like In Cold Blood, you know, like Truman Capote, when he talks about writing that book, he said he felt like it was going to be like the last book that he would ever write. And when I was, you know, towards the end, but like feeling like in a really sort of dark place about ever being able to articulate what the ideas and I had, I just was like, there's no way I'll ever be able to make another film again. You know, it felt like it was like that big of a story. But I have made movies since I finished the Rachel Is. So, you know, it's just when you're making a film about your family, there's no separation at all between any elements of your life, and that can definitely be challenging.
Yeah, well, you know, I cannot have this conversation with you, Charlotte, without talking about the online community. We were posting about this on Facebook and Twitter. You also have been sharing not only this conversation but also keeping other people in the loop. What has it been like for you to kind of have this virtual cheering squad? Because I noticed, especially on Facebook, on the Rachel Is film page there, that people are really rallying around this project, you know, sharing, you know, where people can be able to see it on Tuesday. What has that part of this been like for you, to have other people not only gravitate to the film, but also to realize the importance of people seeing it?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, this is, like, we've been really trying to form, like, dialogue about the issues on social media. And So it's kind of exciting for me. It's a kind of new territory, and it feels like it's the right territory for this film, because I think, you know, it's when you're making a film that has, like, social issues in it, you want to be able to continue that dialogue. You want to be able to say, you know, now that you've watched this film, how can you, you know, engage with this population? How can you make a difference? You know, how can you be, like, a better citizen? So I feel like that's, like, Facebook and Twitter are great platforms to be able to kind of continue that conversation. And, you know, it's funny, it's like, starting in 2004, like, I think it was, like, before any of this, like, really was part of the conversation. So it also is, like, a testament just to sort of, like, the journey that I could never have imagined that this would have happened, because, it, you know, it wasn't even part of the dialogue at that point.
Right.
But it, you know, it feels right for sure.
Yeah. I mentioned that you're going to be on sharing the story on The Doctors on Monday. The film, of course, is coming up on Tuesday again on PBS on America Reframed. That's Tuesday, May the 6th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. for our listeners here in Mississippi on the radio side. You know, at the end of the film, and as the conversation is taking place, or at least beginning, Charlotte, afterwards, what is your hope? I mean, after you wrap this up, after it was done, after everything, you know, was finished, the end was placed, what is your hope that people will be able then to not only take away from it, but then begin doing after they see it?
I think on a very literal level, you know, I hope that people who watch the film will, when they're out in the world and they see people who are different, it will help them, you know, bring a sensitivity to difference. Empathy. I don't mean that in like a sentimental or cheesy way of just like, you know, oh right, like people who have disabilities are human beings. And you know, it's like on a very like a very little way, like a very little thing. It's like my sort of like crusade has been the fact of like people using what we call the R word. Which is retarded, and yeah. Using it without thinking about what that means and how hurtful and derogatory it is.
Right.
And honestly, when I, like, my sort of daily advocacy is to bring that up, because I think that it's a good way for, you know, people to think about people with disability, is like that we use this word and we don't even think about how hurtful it is. You know, that's how marginalized the community is still, that, like, that we still have to have a big conversation about language and respect through appropriate language. So a lot of times people have a hard time, like, talking about the film or talking about my sister because they don't know how to, you know, how do you, like, refer to somebody who's disabled. And so, you know, my sister is developmentally disabled, and that's, like, the way that, you know, that's, like, the correct sort of term to talk about her disability.
Right.
And I hope, you know, my long-winded answer is I hope to, you know, just to keep on pushing those types of conversations. And, you know, I think that that's, like, online, that's, like, those are some of the dialogues that we've been having, and I hope that we will continue to have those conversations to bring awareness of language. And, you know, I think it's like through different groups that have been marginalized over the, you know, through the many hundreds of years, like language and changing in language is the sort of first step to, you know, groups being recognized as humans. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I think you bring up a really good point, and I think it was really, Charlotte, and you can correct me on this, it was a couple of years ago, I think, probably 2011, 2012, when there was a more of a conversation about the R word being used and how it was, you know, a part of this thing of people using words and not understanding the import of those words, you know, and how people were affected by them. I think you're exactly right. I had not honestly thought about that. With this film, but I think that is a really good point that make us think about how we treat others, and also, of course, realizing, you know, how others treat us, and, you know, and how we kind of are all in this world together. And I think it's really you know, the thing for us to do is to really understand each other and appreciate the value that each one of us brings to the world, and focus on that more so than the things that are differences for us. But I think also, as you referenced earlier in the conversation, Charlotte, I think it's about being able to understand how, just as Rachel was on the search for her own independence, how that is something all of us can relate to, and we should all be, you know, all be going for that same thing. And I think that is the great thing about it. Again, everyone, I've been speaking to filmmaker Charlotte Glenn. She's been here talking with us not only about her project, Rachel Is, but, of course, it's going to make its big nationwide debut on PBS, America's Reframed, on Tuesday, May the 6th. A great program. It's going to be a great film, I have to say. Charlotte, congratulations to it. How can our listeners stay in contact with you and, of course, be able to stay updated on what's coming up next with the project?
Well, we have our website, rachelis.com, and that's RACHELIS.com. And there are, you know, you can connect to us through Facebook and Twitter, but check out the website, and all of the information that you could possibly desire is there. So.
All right. You know, I have to close with this, Charlotte. I'm always hearing from, you know, recording artists, from authors, from filmmakers, when something that they have done is well received. The question a lot of people in the public have is, what's next? Are you already thinking about what's next?
Yeah, well, I've made a couple of short films, and I had a short that just premiered at Sundance. Actually, I have a screening in like an hour and a half for that film, so... and then it's actually part of what I'm calling the Pittsburgh Trilogy. So Rachel is the first one of those films. The Immaculate Reception, which is this film I just completed in January, is the second. And then I have another feature film that I am in midst of trying to finish writing. So lots on the table right now.
Well,
but, you know, just keep on making films. Keep on making films about family, for sure.
Well, congratulations to you, Charlotte, and thank you so much for the time today. I know you have a lot going on as you're preparing for Tuesday. We really appreciate you giving us the time today.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, the pleasure's definitely all mine. Again, everyone, Charlotte Glenn has been our guest. Make sure you guys are staying in contact with her on Twitter. It's at RachelIsFilm. And you can also be able to find the Facebook fan page. Just check out Rachel Is on Facebook. You know, I think the other great thing about this is that, you know, all of us, again, you know, are in this thing together. RachelIs.com is the website. Hope you guys will join us. We'll be actually live tweeting during the special on PBS on Tuesday, right after our program here. So we do hope that you all will join us in it. It's going to be a great conversation piece, I believe. And when I first watched it, I think from the very first 5 minutes, I think you'll be able to find some type of connection with the story, and also I think with the larger message of we all are in this thing together, and it really is about what we can do to help each other. If you all came in late and missed part of this broadcast, don't worry. You can catch the podcast about 5 minutes after we go off the air. You can find it on our Facebook and Twitter pages, either at facebook.com/CyrusWebb or twitter.com/CyrusWebb. Click on the link there. You can listen to the show completely for free, and also share it with your friends using the social media buttons you'll find there. You'll see we also tagged Rachel Is on Twitter, so you can find that Twitter handle on our page. And again, it's going to be airing on PBS America Reframed on Tuesday. That's Tuesday, May the 6th at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. for us here on the radio side in Mississippi. That's going to do it for us for this segment. Our radio listeners, you guys stay with us. Remember, at the bottom of the hour, I'll be speaking with acclaimed actor Oba Babatunde. If you'd like to join us on the online side of our program, just head over to blogtalkradio.com/CyrusWebb Presents, so you can hear the next part of the show. Until next time, I am Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music, as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. You all make it a great one.